Good morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the First Congregational Church in Natick, I welcome you here. My name is Andy Burr, and I have the blessing and the privilege of serving as the interim pastor here. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. Everybody is welcome here, and as they say, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. As usual, I have a whole bunch of announcements. We'll be lighting the Christ candle shortly, and so for those at home, I invite you to get a candle so you could join us in that. If you have prayer requests, there are index cards in the pews. You could write it on the your request on the index card and give it to an usher, and they will get it to me. You could email it to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org, or you could text it to my cell phone, which is 978-790-8250. The playground doesn't have anybody in it yet, but it's right there. In that space between the pews, and if anybody would like to go over and play in it, pray in it, you're welcome to do that. Lane, by the way, it's not that I noticed these things, but you're in Ken and Karen's seat.
All right, I know y'all miss Reagan, but he couldn't be here today, so I'm here to update you on the Super Bowl. We're in the 2-minute warning, all right? So at 11:30 after service, we're gonna be awarding the Campbell Progressive Trophy. And I'll just have you notice that the Penguins have won the last 3 years in a row, all right? Yeah, and the good news is that it's really close. I mean, we've raised $2,937.40, so we're like $63 from our goal. And even though, next one, it says here that that we're like $110 apart. No, it's closed even in the last 5 minutes. We're now at, the Penguins are up 1507 to 1430 to the Polar Bears. So, geez, I can't. So anyhow, so it's close. You can donate between now and the and 11:30. Don't donate when Andy's preaching, please.
How would they donate?
They can donate just by going online to what is it? It's yougivegoods.com Natick Super Bowl. It's right on the bottom there. Or you can
and
like
Bill Ramage is waving something about
a check.
You stay there, Lane, yeah. Talk, and I'll get the check. Thank you, Bill.
So, yeah. Oh, the Penguins are all the good people who live south of Route 135, and the Polar Bears are those unfortunate who live north of 135. And here's a prayer.
So you could wave a check like Bill, and somebody will pick it up.
Yeah. So, this check is not acceptable, I think. It's going to bounce, I think. All right, so after the service, we'll announce. Thank you.
Don't you have two announcements, Lane?
Do I have two announcements?
It says you do.
Really? What's my second one? Donations for City Reach. Oh, I'm doing that? I didn't know I was doing that. Okay. Vance, and I'll just read for those of you who can't. Okay. So, yeah, so we're collecting, like, clothing and such, and they're going March 5th. March 10th, we're having a bunch of youth that are going, and so we need, that's, next one, here we go. So we need those things, and we're putting, there's gonna be boxes down on the stage downstairs, okay? So, all right, lots going on. You guys are great, doing great. And Jenna's here. Woo!
And if you could back up to Jeff Clausen's slide. It says here you're gonna talk about the school supplies.
Everybody, Jeff Clausen. In front of us here, thank you all so much for the school supplies that you have all gathered. A number of us are leaving on Wednesday, Sarah Lynn and Grace and myself and Jenna, as well as Lucien, who's with us today. We are all bringing these school supplies down. We will be meeting with scholarship students. We'll be meeting with middle school students and the middle school teachers, as well as the elementary school and the elementary school students. And we will be bringing these school supplies that you all gathered together. And we will all be going down to Santa Maria Ceja with your thoughts in mind. Thank you.
People have no doubt heard about the earthquake in Turkey and Syria. One journalist who has lived there for several years described it as an earthquake of biblical proportions. That's the kind you read about in the Hebrew Bible. The United Church of Christ is collecting donations to go there in support of the relief efforts. Funds that are collected by the United Church of Christ go to these missions 100%. There's nothing off the top, no administrative fee, so I hope you will consider that. Some of you may have heard that Pilgrim Church in Sherburn did not fare well during that cold spell 2 weeks ago. The heat went off, or the electricity causing the heat to go off. The pipes froze, and in the sanctuary specifically, they have those old cast iron radiators, and they literally exploded, leaving fragments all over the sanctuary. So I'm sure that they would appreciate staying in your prayers. The building and grounds team in Lane offered them the use of the sanctuary and other rooms that they may need, and they've got the heat on in the their version of the vestry, and they'll be meeting down there. We will be receiving new members, and there have those who have been among us that are not official members. If you would like to become one, please see me, and we'll get that to happen with the others. It says here, Sarah Lynn, what's in your heart today? And I don't know anything about that.
Is this one on? Today, down in the vestry, we will have a project that's a community art project that's being put together by a number of artists in town. They are painting 2,023 hearts that are going to be displayed on the pedestrian bridge at the train station. And so you're invited to come and share what is on your heart and in your heart on a little heart today downstairs in the vestry after the worship service. Dig deep, find what or who or what's most important to you, and you can share that with folks today. So I hope to see you during coffee hour. Thanks.
Thank you. Let's gather ourselves together and turn our hearts to the worship of God, listening to these words from Psalm 146. Hallelujah! Praise the ageless one, O my soul. I will praise the ever-living God all my life. I will sing praises to my God throughout my living. Put not your trust in the great, nor in any child of earth, for there is no help in them. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth, and in that day their thoughts perish. Happy are these for whom the God of Rebekah's line is their help, whose hope is in the Creator of all, their God. Maker of heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, keeping faith forever. Bringer of justice to the oppressed, bringer of bread to the hungry. The compassionate God sets the prisoners free. The all-seeing God opens the eyes of the blind. The just God lifts up those who are bowed down. The righteous God loves the righteous. The mother of all cares for the stranger, orphan, and widow she bears up, but the way of the wicked she confounds. The Majestic One shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, from generation to generation. Hallelujah. Everybody by now remembers the words of Jesus, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Every Sunday when I light the Christ candle here, I repeat those words, and I always say something about our call to carry the light out into the world beyond these walls. This morning, I'd like to share with you that every Wednesday, because people carry their light in different ways, every Wednesday at the midweek check-in and in the prayer time Thursday evenings, each member of our search team is remembered by name. Matt, Janice, Miriam, Maureen, and Steve. In addition to that, a small group gathered by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit composed a prayer for the search team and the entire church community during this time while it's engaged in the search process. Will you join your hearts with mine as we celebrate the prayer ministry of the First Congregational Church? I'm sorry, I had a technical problem. Let's pray. Holy One, source of all life and love, sustainer of all that is and will be, with confidence in your abiding presence, we offer our imperfect selves. We place our open hearts and minds before you. Imbue us with your Spirit to lead us beyond judgment, beyond fear, beyond the limits of our expectations and understanding. Help us to discern your guidance with trust, patience, and a willingness to embrace new horizons. We pray these things with gratitude for your extravagant love and light that show us the way. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. How shall we sing God's song in a land of suffering? We shall sing of courage and the strength of God. How shall we sing God's song when we feel so lonely? We shall sing of unity and faithfulness, of reconciliation and hope. Come. Let us sing God's song this day. Let us praise God in all our ways forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for the hymn. Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Righteous God, in you we find life and freedom, compassion and care, redemption and reconciliation. You make your ways known to us, and you recognize your people as we are, fully human and made in your image. You come to us, and we come to you. Let us meet in this time and place. Let us bring our hope and our fears, our joys and our sorrows, our successes and our disappointments, the fullness of this glorious and maddening life toward you, assured that you meet us here. Amen. Let us come before God with silent prayers of confession. Please join with me in the unison prayer to confession. Holy God, your fire warms our hearts when they grow cold to the pain of the world, shines brightly to illuminate the shadows where we hide from you, and provides fuel to energize us when we grow weary of the work. Revive us again, O God, revive us. Amen. God with us knows the feeling of fatigue, the despair of doing hard things, and the frustration of a world that has turned from the Holy One. God is faithful to refresh us, renew us, and revive us. Amen.
Bless you. And the peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with one another.
Thank you.
would Jeff and Jenna and Sarah Lynn, and is Grace coming in from the nursery? Does she know this?
Yeah.
And Lucien, if you would join us up here too. Lucien Ronco. Oh, there she is. Jeff and Jenna, Grace and Sarah Lynn and Lucien. As you prepare to travel to Guatemala this week, we want you to know that we support you in your walk of solidarity with our neighbors in Santa Maria Zeja. As you share meals and conversation and laughter with families in their homes and meet with scholarship students, as well as community leaders to better understand the challenges that that community faces and the myriad ways that they have shown remarkable initiative to resolve to improve life in Santa Maria Zeja. As you strengthen our connection to the people there, as you offer your full selves in the service of those who live in Santa Maria Zeja, know that you go with this congregation's blessing. Would you please rise in body or spirit and join in the responsive affirmation shown on the screen and in your bulletins. We celebrate the gift of your love and service. As partners with you in this ministry, we surround you with our blessing, with our prayers.
Together with you, we commit to loving God with our whole heart and our neighbors as ourselves.
Thank you for your witness. Wait, there's more. Let the slide change. There's something you guys need to say. There.
Okay. We accept the call to be Christ's hands and feet, carrying the good news of his love to everyone we encounter. We will listen to the Holy Spirit in the lives of those we encounter. Through this ministry, may we bear witness to God's love in action, and may we allow ourselves to receive that love in return, in the act of solidarity and walking with our neighbors.
We might be tempted to call this trip they're about to go on a mission trip, because that's the language we're familiar with and that's what we often think about. It's not a mission trip. We're not bringing Jesus to the heathens. They're not. They're going down in a ministry of accompaniment, a journey to get to know one another. Back in those days when they were mission trips spreading the love of Jesus, they could have brought Bibles and crosses. So they knew what we did. Not today. This delegation will be bringing these school supplies. And these school supplies are in response to what the people of Santa Maria Zeja said they needed. And it's these school supplies that will help them achieve their full potential. Like that young woman who became a doctor. Say her name.
Nettie Chome.
Nettie Chome. From the village to become a doctor. So before we bless them, let's bless this. You hold your hands of blessing out. Loving God, we ask you to bless these school supplies. Bless them with creativity and love and the power of your Spirit that they may be what those children need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Jeff, people could continue to bring in school supplies up until...
No. We have Save it for next time.
But what if they wanted, somebody wanted to give you a check at the coffee hour? Would you take that?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Let's hold our hands of blessing out as we bless the delegation. We thank God for the gift of your love and your service. May God bless you with safe travels and joyous spirits. May God bless you with full days and inspired hearts. May God bless you with renewed faith and commitment to justice. May God bless you with strengthened connections to the people you meet and a new appreciation of the power of love to transform our world. Amen. You may be seated. Wait, oh, I'm sorry. Jeff has a word to say. If you could even, you can still be seated, but...
But wait, there's more. I just wanted to call out that we are bringing the school supplies down, but the partnership is a very big community that goes back many years. And one of the things that we, some of us have been doing the last couple of days is we have a partner family project where families here write letters to families in Santa Maria Ceja. And so yesterday and today, a group has been packaging up over 109 letters. That's 109 individual letters from families here going down to, that will be carrying down with us physically down to Santa Maria Ceja. So while there are some delegates here, we are just representatives of a larger community. So we're bringing down these school supplies collected by you all, but we are also bringing down letters of goodwill and connection also from members of this congregation. So I want to give a little shout out to Wayne and Jeanette Schroeder. We will bring in down a letter that they wrote to their partner family, Maria Solis. I want to call out Gail Martin and Carolyn Cheever, who we are bringing down a letter to their partner family, the Edubiges Cano family. And then Kelly and Matt McCormick, not here today, but they also write to a family in Santa Maria Ceja, as well as Carol and Mark Digit Pomfret, also not here today, but they also write to a family in Santa Maria Ceja. And then the Claussen family also write to a family in Santa Maria Ceja. So there's a lot of us who are connected to this partnership, and I invite you all to participate as well. There are actually more families in Santa Maria Ceja looking to have partner family letter writing relationships than we have here. So we're all going down there. It'll be a very exciting week for us. We come back. I look forward to telling you all about what happened there and also bringing back the letters that will be coming back with us when we return. Thank you very much, everybody. This has been really nice.
With the offerings and the tithes by this congregation, all of that supports the ministry of this church, ministries like this one going to Santa Maria Ceja. I invite you to give now and generously as we continue to worship God with our offerings. Let's pray together. As we offer our treasures and hearts to you, O God, may they be used to pass on the promise of hope, of peace, of life, of community, to all in need of your gifts and presence in their lives. Amen. Please be seated.
The scripture lesson for this morning comes from the 11th chapter of Matthew, verses 7 through 19. Hear the word of the Lord. As John's disciples went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A person dressed in luxurious robes? Look, those who wear luxurious robes are in royal houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. He is the one about whom it is written, "Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you." Truly, I tell you, no one has arisen among those born of women greater than John the Baptizer. Yet the least in the realm of the heavens is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptizer until now, the realm of the heavens endures violence, and the violent sees it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John came. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. Let those with ears hear. Now, to what shall I liken this generation? It is like girls and boys sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a lament, and you did not mourn." For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, "He has a demon." The Son of Woman came eating and drinking, and they say, "Look, a glutton and a drunk, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. May the Lord bless to our hearing this reading of his word. Amen.
What were you thinking? What were you thinking? Did a teacher or a parent or a partner, a somebody with whom you're in relationship, ever say to you in that sanctimonious, scolding, holier than thou, everyone else knows tone of voice? What were you thinking? In a manner that clearly implied you'd fallen short of some objective standard of which everyone else was aware. In that shame-inducing manner that made you feel small and weak. In a manner that convinced you that your entire life would be just like the life of our poor friend Sisyphus, on the front of your bulletin and on the screen. When the microwave sort of blew up as you warmed up the leftover cashew chicken in that little white square box with the thin metal handle you didn't take off? What were you thinking? When you said to Mr. Myers, your fourth grade Sunday school teacher, "I think your lesson plan is a piece of crap." You know that Mr. Myers, who's the pastor's husband, what were you thinking? When the newly licensed you drove your grandma's car into Lake Cochituate because your best friend promised that it would float as long as the windows were open, what were you thinking? That's the tone that I hear in Jesus' voice this morning. Maybe it's just grist for my therapeutic mill, but that's just exactly the tone that I hear in Jesus' voice this morning as he speaks to the crowd about John the Baptist. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What were you thinking? What did you go out to see in the wilderness? A person dressed in robes, in purple? What were you thinking? What then did you go out to see? A prophet? What were you thinking? Our poor friend Sisyphus. He's the guy that's trying to roll that huge boulder up a hill. Some of you might remember his story from studying Greek mythology in high school. Sisyphus broke the rules. He cheated death. What was he thinking? His so-called crime against humanity was cheating death not once but twice. What was he thinking? King Hades of Ephyra, now known as Corinth, punished Sisyphus for cheating death by forcing him to roll that huge boulder up that hill over and over and over again for eternity. Imagine. Have you ever had a day when you felt like Sisyphus? A week when you could identify with his frustration and pain? A season in your life when you wondered if what you were doing had any real meaning? A time in your life when you felt hopeless? A time when the whole world was asking you in that shame-inducing manner that made you feel small and weak, what were you thinking? I can relate to what Jesus might have been feeling as he spoke to the crowd. Maybe you can too. As I said, he was telling them about John the Baptist, but what he was really doing, in what I'm imagining, was that sanctimonious, scolding, holier-than-thou, everyone-else-knows tone of voice. He was chastising them because they didn't recognize who they saw when they went off into the wilderness. Jesus might have been frustrated at the end of his rope. You know how that can be. Now, it's important to put it that in a little context. The crowd that Jesus was made up of were probably people of the Jewish faith. people who had been steeped in the teapot of the Hebrew Bible, people who were thinking about following him as disciples, these people grew up and lived in a society that would have known all the stories, all the prophecies. Their version of those stories were like our version of the stories that we like to tell around here about John Eliot, the wildly successful capital campaign, the renovations to the sanctuary, and the new kitchen. They would have been known by them at some cellular level, so Jesus didn't have to spend all that time sharing the backstory or do a lot of framing before he began. He said, "Surely you remember, surely. John the Baptizer is the one about whom it is written, 'Look, I am sending a messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way for you.'" What were you thinking? No one has risen among those born of women greater than John the Baptizer, yet the least in the realm of the heavens is greater than he. What were you thinking? All the prophets and the law prophesied until John came, and if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. What were you thinking? Since the very beginning, since you were knit together in your mother's womb, the prophets, the law, the rabbis, even your families, especially your families, have told you over and over and over again what was to happen and who was to come. And knowing all of that, you still went out into the wilderness and looked for a reed shaken by the wind, a person dressed in robes, a prophet. What were you thinking? He, Jesus, is a bit melodramatic as he paints what commentator Sam Perry says is an obviously false picture of John. I wonder, though, was Jesus really chastening the crowd for what they didn't do and didn't see, but rather telling them what it would be like when they faithfully followed him on the way? It's just like the Jesus that we've come to know and love, isn't it? To say one thing while trying to teach us another? To talk circuitously as he teaches people, it's this. But it's not really this, it's that. Perhaps the message to the crowd is really, if you're faithful to your call, if you're my true disciple, then you will feel just like Sisyphus in a world that just doesn't get what the realm of heavens is all about. You'll be the odd person out. You won't sit with the cool kids. Those around you will ask, "What were you thinking?" If you're faithful to your call, if you're my true disciple, then the world with different values, different ideas of what's important, different ideas about God, those around you will ask, "What were you thinking? You had a good life. Things were settled. You knew who you were, what you had to do, and how to get it done. You had a nice home and a good family and a comfortable lifestyle. You were succeeding at this thing that we call life. If you trade all that in to follow God's call, to be a true disciple, those around you will ask, 'What were you thinking?'" Get ready. I think Jesus is saying to the crowd. Being my disciple in this world will be a lot like Sisyphus trying to roll that huge boulder up the hill. You'll face the kind of active opposition you didn't even know was possible. Just like the forces of gravity act on that huge boulder, the forces of the world will act on you. Both forces try to bring things down. Both make life extremely hard. Both will exhibit such active opposition to what's trying to be done that you'll feel like it's your sentence for the rest of your life. It might even be one no good, terrible, horrible, very bad day after another. Do it anyway, he seems to be saying to the crowd. Yes, being my disciples is going to be hard. Yes, my disciples, being my disciple means you'll feel out of step with the world and those you love. Yes, being my disciple means you'll have to measure your life with a different measuring stick. And we know, don't we, sitting here in this beautiful sanctuary, or at home on TV, listening to the beautiful music, praying with friends, sharing a cup of coffee and a homemade treat down in the vestry, we know that it's really us he's talking to. It's just like that Jesus we've come to know and love, isn't it? We've come to expect certain things of our faith, haven't we? A community of like-minded people, perhaps a weekly gathering of prayer, praise, and music that makes us feel good about ourselves and our calling as a Christian. And maybe a certain kind of security, being a part of a club of insiders whose holidays and sacred texts are reflected in the cultural norms and expectations. And then, echoing through this room like the timpani on Easter, Jesus says, "Really? Really? What were you thinking?" Much more important than being in this warm and cozy sanctuary with warm and cozy people is to be out there in the world. That's where it counts. That's where the rubber meets the road. But when you're out there trying to follow God's call, trying to live faithfully, trying to do your best to bring about the realm of heaven that Jesus knew could be a reality, when we're out there where it counts, it's gonna feel like pushing a boulder up a hill. Maybe you have had one of these. There will be days when the boulder rolls down the hill right over you. There'll be days that we walk by turning a blind eye to the boulder. There'll be seasons of our life that the only thing that we can do is pray for someone else to push that damn thing up the hill for us. There will be. That's the way it's going to be. But at the end of each day, that Jesus whom we have come to know and love will receive us just like a grandma receives her grandchild in her lap after the kid's done a very, very bad thing. Holding the child's hand, looking right into their eyes, grandma whispers, whispers softly in their ear. There's nothing you could ever do that will make me stop loving you. I will love you forever. What were you thinking? Amen. The prayer list that you have in the bulletin, maintained by Linda and that group of people who pray together in the congregation, I would invite you, request you to hold them in your prayer, the people on the list, as the prayer groups do. To remember Mary Cerrito, David Coulter's wife, who's in rehab at Carlisle House. Elaine Gattani, who begins her interim ministry at the Harvard Mass Congregational Church. For Louisa Caswell and her family, Louisa has been diagnosed with terminal cancer. Joys, celebrations, concerns, prayer requests that people here have. Jeff?
Prayers for all those who live north of Route 135 who are struggling to overcome the challenges from the south of Route 135.
You didn't learn that we're not allowed to pray for outcomes. Thy will be done, not mine. Others. Oh, I'm sorry. Heather and Doug. For the what trip? Gratitude for those who are involved in the ministry for the food pantry.
And those who will benefit.
Doug. Prayers of thanksgiving for David Coulter's successful eye surgery. Sarah Beth?
Just a joy of celebration for my baby who turns 18 tomorrow.
The day is surely coming, says the Lord, for your baby who's turning 18, Lucien. Wow, prayers of gratitude for your aunt who died at 103 and a half. Heather? Your baby turns 19 on Wednesday. Good luck with that. Others? Thank you, Jeanette. Who are you? Oh, Pam, I'm sorry. Wow, gratitude for Pam's mother who just turned 95. Others. Being a disciple out there in the world takes courage. So let's pray together in the words of Jan Richardson, who wrote this blessing of courage. I cannot say where it lives, only that it comes. To the heart that is open, to the heart that asks, to the heart that doesn't turn away. It can take practice, days of tugging at what keeps us bound, seasons of pushing against what keeps our dreaming small. When it arrives, it might surprise you by how quiet it is, how it moves with such grace for possessing such power. But you'll know it by the strength that rises from within you to meet it, by the release of the knot in the center of your chest that suddenly lets go. You'll recognize it by how still your fear becomes as it loosens its grip, perhaps never quite leaving you, but calmly turning into joy as you enter the life that is finally your own. O God, we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our brother, teacher, and guide, who would have us pray. Our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please rise in body or spirit for our final hymn, Called as Partners in Christ's Service?
Thank you.
You may be seated. Jeez Louise. All right, so before I announce the winners, two announcements. I wanna thank Reagan Foley for doing the, he couldn't be here today, but I wanna thank him for that. And let's see, so the big news is we've raised $3,338.33. So, the scores are the Penguins have $1,630, and if you're online, you can see that the Polar Bears only have $1,607, but we have this partially deflated check here for $100, and that puts the Polar Bears on top for this year. So. And invite all the polar bears to come down the vestry and to raise the Campbell Progresso Trophy. Andy has a liter bottle of Coke and a couple mementos that he's going to put in there and douse you all in celebration. All right, so thank you, everyone.
Lane assured me that that's not a golden calf here in Natick. It's going to be a challenge walking out those doors into a world that mocks us when we practice what we believe. It's going to be hard pushing that boulder up the hill. Go and do it anyway. And as you go, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God enough that you fear nothing else at all. Go in peace. Amen.